Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Anton Blanchett. I'm here with Mark Moore. He's a policy wonk, and we're going to go over the application for an Article 5 convention via the Compact method brought forth by Compact for America, which is a creature of the Goldwater Institute. How are you doing today, Mark?
Great. Thanks for having me, Anton.
Well, Mark, we seem to have this thing that's been submitted to committee, and I'm sort of curious what your opinions of it are.
Anton, even if someone is in favor of having an Article 5 convention to propose amendments to the Constitution, they should be against this Trojan horse, this fake balanced budget amendment that really induces Congress to change our tax policy in a way that will harm almost all Americans. Middle class and below will lose under this. Giant corporations will win. Retirees will be crushed. And I'll say more about that as I go, but the main thing is be wary of an Article 5 convention. But even if you're not, even if you say we need to have one, you should oppose this proposal.
Okay, well, let's get down and look at this proposal that they have.
Yes, you've got the bill there, and I encourage everyone listening, go to the Arkansas Legislature's website, download HB 1006. This is the bill submitted by a state legislator to ask Arkansas to join in this compact, and which will eventually apply to Congress to ask Congress to call a constitutional convention, or excuse me, not a an amendments convention under Article 5. Let's look at where are we going to start on this thing.
Well, let's go ahead and start off on some of the most controversial right here. Page 3, Section 3, lines 27 through 36. What's this all about?
Okay, that is the heart of why they say this is a balanced budget amendment. This is the part where they hold it up and say, okay, we want to propose one amendment. We think we can contain this thing to where the states tightly script this convention. They can't. I'll go into that in a minute. But what I'm saying is, even if they tightly scripted it and things went exactly as they wanted it to go, this is a fake solution. It's not a real solution. And honestly, our ruling class, they want to distract you. They want to say, oh, make it about giving us better rules to follow. They're rascals, and you've got to throw out the rascals. You can't put better rules on rascals and expect them to behave like honorable people. But that's the way to fix this, because everyone says, well, what's your solution to fix it? My friends, I have a solution to fix it, but it's like Henry Ford said about opportunity. Opportunity is missed by most people because it shows up in overalls and looks like work. There is another way to do it, but they don't have an answer to do it either. This is not an answer. This is the illusion of an answer. And on page 3, lines 27 through 36, what they say is, you know what, to increase the debt limit, we are going to make Congress have to get the approval of the majority of state legislators to increase the debt limit. That is the heart and soul of why they say this is a balanced budget amendment. Now, let me ask you something, Anton. Do our current state legislatures say no to federal money?
No. They almost never do. In fact, I don't know if I've ever heard of it.
When do they ever do that? When Congress decided to bail out the big banks, or let's go back a little further. When George W. Bush was spending us into oblivion, before Obama started spending us into oblivion, when he was doing it, did any Republican legislators take up a resolution condemning his overspending?
Absolutely not.
When the Republican and the Democratic parties together ignored America and bailed out the bankers, borrowed, created trillions of dollars out of thin air, and bought up all the banksters' bad debts, including not even American banks, foreign banks. They put debt on your children and mine, on the next generation, to buy the bad debt of these foreign banks. Did you see any state legislators condemning them for that?
No, never.
No. And with Obamacare, the majority of states, including Republican states, and there's still some happening right now, the majority of the states have accepted Obamacare money, even though they know in a few years they will have to start paying more state money than they did. In other words, it's almost like, look, I'll give you $100 a day now, but after a week you have to start paying a little more, and then after a month you have to start paying $120 forever. Most of us wouldn't go for that deal. We'd say, look, it sounds good in the short run, but we see by the rules we have to pony up more and more of our own money, so in the long run it's going to cost us more. That's kind of how Obamacare is structured. And they still said yes to the money. Has any state defunded Planned Parenthood and said, we refuse to take the federal money that goes to Planned Parenthood?
Not to my knowledge.
No, they don't do it. They love debt, Anton. They love it that the federal government has the power to create debt on the next generation, and then it splits the loot with them today.
Mm-hmm.
So they have money to spend. They have money to please people, to please special interests, and they don't have to raise taxes for it. So why is that a deterrent? Given that there's no state legislature that has done that yet, why are they going to start doing it just because this amendment comes along? It violates their character. Plus, you know, the president, as long as we continue to have state legislatures and the federal executive put to the ballot through the same political organization, the same party, you know, half the state legislatures, approximately, are going to be in the president's party. So they're not going to embarrass the president by saying no when he has some big idea he wants to do. They will do what they've been doing, Anton, and that is spend money. The sponsor of this bill included. You look at Arkansas. The voters of this state have been extremely clear. They could not be more clear. They don't want to be a part of Obamacare. They don't want Medicaid expanded. Guess what? They expanded Medicaid anyway. They're not honest enough to call it that. They call it the private option, but it is a Medicaid program. Just has a little temporary waiver that goes away next year. So, it only took, Anton, this is the thing, it only took 25% of the plus one vote of either house of the Arkansas legislature to stop the appropriation for Obamacare. They couldn't even get that much. They couldn't. So why is the majority of half the legislatures in the union going to say no to raising the debt limit when Congress comes to them and says, we're funding your programs right now? Like in Arkansas, we have $5 billion in tax receipts from Arkansas taxpayers. The Arkansas legislature spends about $25 billion a year. Most of the difference comes from Washington. So you mean to tell me when Congress tells them, oh, by the way, all this money you've been handing out to your friends, if we don't get an increase in the debt limit, you're going to have to cut back on that? Do you think they're not going to blink? Well, they have been blinking. The sponsor of this bill voted to be a fund Obamacare in Arkansas. He voted for the federal government to spend money they don't have. And now he's telling people, oh, you know what the answer is? Washington just needs to get our approval before they spend money they don't have. Hey, Buster, you just told them last year to spend money they don't have. And not only that, you love debt. This man was a strong supporter of increased debt for routine highway maintenance. Okay, I'm sorry, I've started there, but we need to go on.
Yeah, let's go on. Now, we get over here to page 4, section 4, lines 3 through 7.
Oh, okay. I do want to go to page 4, but one more thing. In that previous part, they tried to make a law against, they're trying to say quid pro quos will be banned.
Yeah, right. You know,
this is another thing what I'm talking about. The real answer, the hard answer, the true answer is we have a system that promotes rascals and discriminates against good people. So rascals make it at the top of our political system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about our party system. Because why? Because it's funded by people who want the looting to continue.
Yeah.
Because they get the looting. So we're either going to have to go outside that system, or they cannot be made decent people by giving them more rules. You can put a rule against quid pro quo all you want, but it's done. They will wink, they will nod, they will not leave a paper trail. You cannot get rid of what used to be called backroom deals by making a law against backroom deals. You can't get rid of quid pro quo by making a rule against quid pro quo. You simply got to elect people who have too much character to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm sorry, you were speaking of page 4?
Yeah, page 4, section 4, talks about the impoundment. Yeah.
Okay. What this does is, when things get close to the limit, and they'll always be close to the limit, it gives the president power to pick and choose where he's not going to spend money. Mm-hmm. This is just more of the legislature offloading its responsibility to make the tough calls, because they like to posture, they like to pontificate, but they don't like to make tough calls. They continually outsource their responsibilities to whether it's a bureaucracy or to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another example of that. He will decide where money is spent and not spent, and therefore, Antone, he will have leverage in the negotiations with Congress. This bill is where Congress abdicates some of its responsibility, its constitutional power of the purse strings, and gives it to the executive and puts him in a stronger negotiating position. Now, I really, as Arkansans, we don't have much to say about who the president is, but we have a little influence on our congressmen. That's about to mean less and less because they're giving away their power to that will help in negotiations about where cuts really need to be made.
Yeah, in essence, the House of Representatives will actually be stripped of certain fund assigning powers in deference to the president's whims.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. Section 5, page 4, lines 15 through 21, 22.
When I said this is a Trojan horse, this section, page 4, lines 15 through 21, this was what I was talking about. What this provision does is it requires a two-thirds majority of Congress to raise income tax rates. Now, you may think, oh, gee, that's good, because there's always this battle between just printing more debt and raising taxes, and we want the budget to be balanced, but we don't want them to do it by simply raising taxes every time. So it's good that they have a two-thirds requirement if they want to raise income taxes, and actually there are several kinds of taxes that they require a supermajority for. VAT tax, which is what a lot of European countries have, income tax, and then one other. Well, that may be, but there's also a provision in there that says if they switch from an income tax to a national sales tax, retail sales, mind you, then this provision of a supermajority requirement does not apply. In other words, if we want to raise income tax rates, it takes two-thirds of Congress to pass it. But if you want to raise retail sales taxes and go to a retail sales tax system, then you can pass an increase in that with a simple majority. So what I'm saying, and also the simple majority requirement is all you need to eliminate deductions, to eliminate waivers, to eliminate credits. So look for them to target some tax exemptions and some tax credits and some deductions that we currently enjoy. But also, what I'm afraid of is they will switch from an income tax to a national retail sales tax. Now, think if you're a retiree, Anton. Think about you've already made your money, your income's not very high anymore, but it's okay because you don't pay a lot of income taxes. Suddenly, you will be paying taxes because taxes will now be levied every time you go to the store. Now, think, we have some history of this here in Arkansas, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
In Arkansas, we know how this works because it's worked here. We have a supermajority requirement to raise taxes right in our Arkansas state constitution. Now, there was a court case afterwards that said any kind of tax that wasn't around when this amendment was passed, that amendment does not apply to it. And so if you want to know how this is going to work, look at Arkansas, because we have something very similar in our state constitution. If we want to raise income taxes, it requires a super majority of the state legislature to approve it. But sales taxes were not around in that time. So if they want to raise retail sales taxes, then a simple majority is all that it takes. And what's the result then?
Just increase taxes.
Every time it gets tight, they vote to increase the easiest tax to increase, and that's sales tax. So our sales taxes now, we still have an income tax, but our sales taxes are 9-10% of the purchase in some places.
Mm-hmm.
And this federal income tax is going to be more than double that. We don't know exactly how much, but even the proponents are saying 22%. on top of whatever the sales tax is. So, and you can imagine someone say, well, gee, I like a retail sales tax. I've heard that that's a fair tax. My friends, you know, in the Old Testament of the Good Book, there was a flat rate 10% tax on income. And that was God's idea. So if you think these politicians are more fair than God, then just continue to call a tax on retail sales a fair tax. It's no more or less fair than any other. But I'll tell you this, it is more intrusive. People say, I can't wait to get rid of the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. And by the way, Anton, I can't either. I mean, my book, Localism, A Philosophy of Government, recommends that there be no federal income tax for individuals, only corporations. But this tax just comes on, there's a tax on what you make. Okay, so suddenly it's the government's business to know what you make, where your income is derived, how much you got. That's the income tax. But you think it's going to change when we start taxing retail spending? Suddenly they're going to be very interested in, well, now where are you spending your money? You're not going by a roadside stand where they're not collecting all and submitting all the taxes, are you? You're not just doing each other favors. That we take that to be an attempt to evade federal retail sales taxes. So in other words, the IRS can be replaced with the ISS, the Internal Spending Service. So if it's oppressive that we have to report for where all our income comes from to Washington, and I think it is, it's twice as repressive that it's their business now every time we spend money. Oh, did you pay all your taxes on that? It's not going to be a panacea. It's going to be worse than what we have now.
Gee whiz. And now I'm sitting here looking at Section 6, lines 33 through 36, and I'm sort of curious about this. Do you have anything that you would like to add into that?
Yeah, I do. But before I get to that, let me sum up the thing on the taxes. My friends, if you want IBM, if you think a fair tax is IBM paying a lower effective tax rate than you, then please support this measure, because that is what it will induce Congress to do. Once we go to this retail sales tax, giant global corporations will pay a lower effective tax rate than middle-class Americans who have to spend almost all of their income just surviving, them and below. That's not a fair tax. This is why this is being pushed, friends. It's being pushed because they, being the entities which fund both political parties, they would love to shift tax burden from corporate America further onto the backs of middle-class America and below. That's what this retail sales tax will do. Now, you mentioned page 6. Page 6 is what I call the Roach Motel provision of this thing. In other words, there is a big rush to pass it. Once 3/4 of the state's legislatures approve such a measure, it says that it's a binding contract and you can't get out. If you try to get out, they've got this commission that can come along and sue you. So most people do not know what's in this bill. They think, oh good, they want to propose an amendment for a balanced budget amendment. They don't know that the so-called provision which will encourage a balanced budget amendment is a fraud, and they don't know that hidden within it is a secret inducement to change our tax code to a retail sales tax that will let big corporations off the hook and punish almost all middle class and below Americans. So let's say 3/4 of the legislatures pass this bill, and then we find out what's in it. Kind of like Nancy Pelosi and Obamacare. We pass it, and then we find out what's in it. And we say, hey, wait a minute. We didn't sign up for that. We thought this was going to be just stop Washington from spending so much money. We didn't think this was going to be a trick that wouldn't really stop the borrowing, but at the same time would induce Congress to change our tax code in a way that punishes us. We want out. According to this provision, once 3/4 sign up, no state can withdraw. They're breaking the contract. We're going to sue them over it.
And doesn't this also require that this is going to be a requirement of the commission in this compact that we have, that the chief lawmaking officer, the chief officer in charge of law, protection, you know, the attorney general or the governor, actually defend this with the taxpayers' money.
It does. It does. It establishes a commission, and this commission not only lobbies for other states to pass the bill, but it litigates for the bill. In other words, it establishes a commission paid for donations. They will take donations, but paid for by public monies. They have the power to ask for public monies. They can turn around and sue the states that say, wait a minute, this isn't what we signed up for. It's a bad deal. We want out. And they can sue them and say, too late.
So now I'm going over here to page 5. What does Article 3, lines 9 through 11, have to say that's of a great notable issue?
Well, this is just it's a blanket repeal of all existing state law that conflicts with the compact. In other words, what's in this compact? What state laws do we have out there? The compact binds the states to do certain things. What if it conflicts with some state law? What if the people don't want the compact? It's too bad. And I guarantee you there will be unintended consequences that abound from this provision, because no one voting for this bill, I'll wager, including the sponsor, knows all the state laws that will be repealed by this compact. They don't know what it will do. They don't know what laws they're repealing when they vote for this compact to repeal them.
Okay. And so is the next, I would say the next section we need to go over is, you know, page 6, which would be page 7 through, 15?
Yeah, the big middle of this bill. The big middle of this bill is what is the part where they pretend that they have the power to push Congress around via a compact. Now, this is where people who want to be fooled, people who want to believe that this easy answer is a real answer instead of a fake answer, this is where they give them a bunch of false assurances about, you know, we're going to have the convention like this, we all agree we're going to do it like that, there's going to be this restriction, there's going to be that limitation, and here's how this compact is going to take charge and manhandle Congress and get ourselves an amendments convention that's the way we want it, not them. And it's all baloney. It's complete baloney. It's a fraud. If they've taken money for that, well, I can't believe they even say in there, hey, if Article 1, Section 10, if this compact is found to violate Article 1, Section 10, then we'll continue this thing as a reciprocal legislation. Okay? If you read, ladies and gentlemen, look at Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution. It clearly says no state can make a compact with any other state unless Congress approves. So how is this something that's going to rein in Congress? Congress has to approve whatever it is that's in the compact. It's a fraud to say we're going to use this process to force something on Congress they don't want. Friends, either Congress is going to say, we don't want this and we don't approve your compact, or what I'm warning you about on this tax deal where there's a Trojan horse retail sales tax, all the sponsors of Congress, all the big corporations that have bought off our government, taken it away from us, it'll pass in a hurry because they all want this. And that will be even worse. But these compacts cannot be done without the approval of Congress. It's plain and simple. All these assurances, if Congress doesn't want them, it's not going to happen.
Wow. So, now, after page 15, on page 16, section 3, which is lines 16 through 22, let's discuss that in some depth.
All right. This is where not only is all existing law repealed, but the chief law enforcement officer, the governor, the attorney general, is obligated to defend the compact from all legal challenges and use prohibitive injunctions when it's, quote, violated, unquote. In other words, your elected officials aren't yours anymore. They serve this compact. If the population says we have qualms about this, Too bad. They've lost all discretion. They're giving away their discretion to serve their people and their constituents.
Wow.
Read it for yourselves, folks.
Now, on page 17, under the termination section, which is section 7, there is lines 31 through 34. What's going on with this?
Yeah, and I would say also on page 17, look at above lines 22 through 26. That's where they know this is a violation of Article 1, Section 10.
Yeah.
And they try to say, well, it's a compact if we can get away with it, but otherwise it's not a compact. Hey, you can't do that. It's either a compact or it's not. If it's not a compact, then it doesn't bind the other states, and none of these protections mean anything. They're all a hill of beans. They're fake promises because the other parties are not bound. It's just reciprocal legislation. You cannot bind Texas by Arkansas's reciprocal legislation. They agree to it if they want. If they want to do something different, they can. But page 17, lines 32 through 33, is where they try to set a 7-year time limit to ratify this thing. Well, you know, the courts have already ruled in Dillon versus Gloss. Then it's Congress that has the power to set time limits on ratification conventions. In other words, states can't even, they're not even the ones that are empowered to set the time limits to ratify an amendment. Congress has already been given that power, or that power, which is on Article 5, has been confirmed by the courts.
Wow. So this is just one big bunch of hullabaloo.
Yeah, no, this is a con job. I'm sorry. I know probably some of y'all have met some of the people pushing this. You may like some of those people. Maybe some of them know what it really is, and maybe some of them don't. But folks, there's nothing that I've said tonight that isn't based upon the way people have behaved in the past. Everything I'm telling you tonight, I'm saying they will act in the future the way they've acted in the past. I'm not saying they're going to do anything out of character. I'm saying they're going to do what's in character. I'm saying the similar laws are going to have the similar effect that the same kind of laws have had in the past. I'm not saying anything unreasonable. What I am saying are things that are hard to hear because, gosh, there's no easy answer. There's no answer where I can just sit in my easy chair, I can cheer on Team Red or Team Blue, I can keep doing the things I'm doing, voting for the people I'm voting for, and everything will be take care of itself because we're going to put a better rule on these rascals. And that's all I can offer you is the red pill tonight. The illusion that things will be okay if you just let us do this, wake up, friends. It's a delusion. Not only that, but there's something in here, and I'm talking about the potential to change the tax code to a national retail sales tax that is very, potentially, very hurtful. Thank you.
Mark, I appreciate your time, and I'm just gonna put on the fact that people need to wake up, start reading these things, go over this in their own time, form their own opinion. Just don't take what somebody says about it. And I thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.